This radio program is PG-13. Parents strongly caution some material may be inappropriate for children under the age of 13. Send me free. Of the chains holding me.
Is anybody out there hearing me? Send me free. Jesus' mission was to comfort those who mourn, bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to captives, and open prison doors for those who are bound. For those who want more than status quo Christianity has to offer, Blazing Grace Radio begins now. And here is your host, Mike Janung.
Hey, Mike Janung here. Welcome back to Blazing Grace Radio. Thank you for joining us on this battlefield we call life. So last 2 weeks, you have heard these broadcasts coming to you from Finland, which I recorded with Aura Elliott. She is our ministry partner there. We talked about the prevalence of porn in Finland, and she had recorded or talked about statistics where up to 90% of Finnish men were viewing pornography. I mean, this was a government study, but those are some pretty big numbers. And I've talked before about how an article came out last year in the U.S. that said porn use among Christians reaches an all-time high. And that article showed that around 70% of Christian men and 40% of Christian women were viewing pornography on a consistent basis. And so the numbers are not getting smaller. It continues to grow. And the need to talk about these issues continues to grow. And so this week and next week, I'm recording these shows in Italy. This is the third week of a four-week trip, and the food is just amazing here. It is like nothing, it's real food, and back home in the States, a lot of the food that we have, well, you know, it's jacked up with chemicals and sugars. Well, you don't have that here, at least not anywhere close to that extent, and so it's weird. I'll be eating out all the time, and I don't gain weight. I don't turn into a tubbo. And that's because what happens when you eat real food, and the coffee is just amazing. It's smooth and it's good. And I had a cappuccino yesterday that was €1.60. And so it's, you know, a third or a fourth of the price of an American cappuccino, but it's not like a big milkshake. So anyways, this is the setting. And the last 3 weeks, there has been quite a bit of spiritual warfare because the enemy doesn't like it when we talk about these things. He doesn't like when we talk about sexual sin and pornography in the church or even broadcast over the airwaves. So today I have with me Dan Weens, who I've known for around 10 years. Dan is the director of Liberati in Christo, which is a ministry to the sexually broken and their spouse. He and his wife Angela do counseling with men, women, and couples. They lead groups, and he's a true warrior. So, Dan, welcome back to the program.
Thanks. It's nice to be here.
So let's kick this off by having you share your story.
Okay. Well, I'm a missionary kid. I was born here in Italy. My dad was American. My mom was Canadian. And so, like I often say, I grew up with bread and the Bible, and was taught a lot of spiritual wisdom from my parents. And then when I was about 12 years old, I was sent off to a boarding school in Germany. And even though I knew that my parents loved me and cared for me, it was difficult, because I felt a little bit abandoned by them. And those years at boarding school were not easy. I was there until I graduated from high school. And I also remember that a lot of bullying took place with the other guys. And I learned to just kind of suck it up and not react, because it was just the easiest way to survive.
How old were you when this was going on?
This was maybe when I was between 13 and 17 years old. And then I went on to college, and I studied at Bible college there in the States. And then I decided to come back to Italy because my heart was in Italy, and I wanted to marry an Italian and live here. But unfortunately, my mom had gotten cancer, bone cancer. And when I got back, she was already not doing too well. And she only lived about 2 years after I got back. And she was kind of like the main person, the person with whom I could rely on in my family a lot more than my dad. She was the key figure. I would call her my spiritual mentor, and she was very important to me. And so when she passed away, when I was 25 years old, that was really, really hard on me. And then a few months later, my dad went to live with my sister and brother-in-law. And so I ended up living in a house, a fairly big house, all by myself. And that was extremely difficult. And that's when I really started binging into porn. And
you were how old at that point?
I was 25. I'd already discovered porn during my college years, but it was more just kind of a discovery, but it wasn't an addiction. It was just more trying to know about my sexuality because I had not been taught about it either from my parents or at boarding school.
So did you not hear about sex at all growing up?
No.
Oh, wow.
No, not at all. And so for 1 year after my mom passed away, there was still my nanny, who I used to call Aunt Betty, and she was still an important reference figure for me. And so I used to go to eat at her place almost every day at lunchtime, and she was, yeah, very, very important to me. But 1 year later, she decided to retire and go back to Canada. And when that happened, I felt like I just didn't have anybody, no reference figure anymore. And that's when I not only binged into porn, but I went also to have sex with prostitutes. And it was a very, very, very dark period. I risked losing my faith, but thankfully I had put my faith in God when I was a child. And I remember even when I was at boarding school that God was near me when I would pray, and I always felt him near in my life. And so thankfully, I did not abandon my faith, but it was just a very, very, very hard period. And I know that acting out was due to this trauma of an abandonment that I'd had a little bit in my high school years, and then it came back when my mom passed away, and you know, my dad was not really present anymore. And so then I this happened for about a year and a half, and then at a certain point, my Aunt Betty, who was always praying for me back in Canada, and she told me that she was praying for an angel for me. And so it's interesting how God answered, and he brought Angela into my life. And Angela really meant a lot to me because she's a very stable type of person, and she has an inner strength. And so when I got to know her, that really helped. From the moment I got to know her, I never went back to any kind of prostitutes or anybody else like that. But the porn step kept still lurking in my life. And we started dating, then we got engaged. And then, unfortunately, even when we got married, even though we had sex together, I was so taken up with porn that I would not often want to have sex with her because I was so much binging on porn. And this had quite an effect on Angela. It was very hard on her. And this went on for various years until she caught me watching porn on TV. And fortunately, the next day we had an appointment, which was already arranged with a couple that had been counseling us for just other matters in our marriage. And so we talked with them, and they were quite a help in saving our marriage. And they convinced me that I had an addiction and that I needed help. And I went to a counseling center in the Italian part of Switzerland. And they also kind of convinced her that this was not something against her, but it was a problem that I had and that I needed to resolve. And so she seemed to kind of accept me as a porn addict. Maybe I should not have been present at that conversation and not seen her accept that, because after a few months that I'd been at the counseling center, I went back into porn. And that went on for various years, and every time I would fall at that point, I would go and confess it to her, and I would actually say, well, if God forgave me, then you need to forgive me too. What arrogance. Mm-hmm. But anyway, at a certain point in 2012, God got a hold of my attention, and I had been disappointed with somebody in my church who had attacked me about a message that I had preached, and I kind of closed myself in, and I just didn't want to have any more public involvement in the church. And but I rediscovered the book of Psalms. I had studied the Bible as a kid. I'd gone to Bible college, but I felt like I had a lot of head knowledge of the Bible, but not a heart knowledge of the Bible. And reading the Psalms and just seeing the way David interacted emotionally with God really touched me. And God started healing my heart, also through online services from the States that were helping me a lot. And so in September of 2012, I really felt like he was nudging me to really get help for this issue. And but my heart had already changed, and so I was more willing to really work on this issue. And thankfully, I got a book that gave me some clear practical indications what to do. And also through an accountability partner with whom I interacted with every day, I really saw how God healed my heart in September of 2012. And it's interesting how then soon later, within a few weeks, I felt like he was telling me, Dan, you need to talk about porn here in Italy because no one is talking about it in the church. And so, yeah, that's a little bit my story of what happened to me and then how God called me to start the ministry of Liberati in Cristo.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing. And a couple questions on your story. Just a little bit about your dad. You said he was a missionary, but he had a pretty prominent role in planting a lot of churches here, didn't he?
Yes, he did. He didn't directly plant a lot of churches throughout Italy, but he did have a role here locally in this area in starting the church that now is a vibrant, fairly big sized church here in Modena. And but because of the radio ministry and the publishing ministry that both he and my mom were involved in, this did have a very good spiritual influence throughout churches of all of Italy.
Mm. You used the words, you risked losing faith. What was that about?
that was about the disappointment that I felt in those days regarding just other believers, even in my own family, like my sisters, they had their own families, and their children were small, so they weren't able to dedicate much time to me. And then the other believers in the church, I kind of felt like I was just there, but not really considered much. And then also when I had to move out of this big house that was a little bit up in the mountains, I felt like I was kind of just left alone. And actually in that period, the people that helped me the most were my non-believing colleagues, and they were really present. They were a godsend for me. And so, I don't know, I just felt like a little bit abandoned also by the church in a certain way, by believers. I didn't feel abandoned by God, but, you know, a lot of times we make the mistake to judge God even by what other Christians do. And so, and maybe I was also being too judgmental towards them, I don't know. But I just felt abandoned. I was already abandoned, you know, a little bit by my parents, and so I felt a little bit abandoned by them, and so that theme just was really hurting me in that period.
So you grew up in the church, so I would think maybe you had friends in the church. It sounds like you didn't have much in the way of strong connections or relationships.
Well, I didn't, because I had lived away so for so much time from, I was in the boarding school in Germany, and then in the at college in the United States, and so I would just come home for Christmas and maybe a little bit in the summer, but I didn't really have a lot of connections with people here in Italy. I knew them, but I would just see them every once in a while.
What did your relationship with your dad look like?
Well, my dad was not a very emotional person. I mean, I knew he cared for me, but he didn't tend to hug me a lot or say, you know, words like "I care for you" or "I love you." He evangelized a lot. He liked to talk about spiritual things, or he liked to talk about just what was happening in the world or events, or talk about more superficial things, but he didn't often talk about deeper emotional issues. And so I felt like he was there, but he wasn't really there. I mean, he was not that present. And often he would travel throughout Italy visiting churches. And I didn't really feel his presence much in my life, and not at all as a fatherly authority figure.
Hmm. Did he ever go out with you very often just to hang out and have fun?
No, it didn't happen often. Every once in a while, he would take me out for a pizza or something like that. But he didn't do it a lot. And you also have to consider that he was an older father in respect to most fathers. Like, he was 49 years old when I was born.
Oh.
So he almost could have been the age of my grandfather.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So did you struggle with connections with men kind of in your young adult years?
A little bit, yes. I didn't connect a lot. I remember especially just kind of binging on porn, isolating myself, and not connecting with a lot of other men.
Mm. You used the word "dad wasn't present," and that really connects into the "I'm abandoned" mentality, thought, lie, whatever you want to plug that into. And a lot of people we see who are struggling have that going on in their mind, that God's not with me. I'm on my own. I have to figure this out on my own. Did you have that going on in your heart?
Yes. Yes, I did. Especially when, when I was on my own, because most of my life between when I was 12 and when I was 23, I was away from my family. But I felt generally just like I had to do everything on my own. I did have some friends, more in college. I remember instead in high school, I really felt on my own. In college, I picked up some friends there, and it was a little bit better. But overall, the connections and the relationships weren't really deep. We didn't talk about a lot of deep issues. It was more superficial things.
And yet here we are on the radio and you're sharing it to the world. So
that's right.
That's a good transition there.
Well, things have changed in the last 15 years.
You said around 2012 God started nudging you more to get help. And prior to that time, were you meeting with an accountability partner?
No, not really. Not that much. I'd known about a friend who had been struggling with porn, and he had admitted it to me, actually in front of his wife and in front of me and my wife, Angela, and that really struck me. But I knew about him, but I really didn't share that much with him. I mean, I talked a little bit about my porn issue, but I would not be accountable with him on a regular basis.
What did the healing process for your marriage look like?
That took a while. It took a while because Angela had been used to me, almost like commanding her to forgive me. And so she was tired of hearing that. Instead, when God worked in my heart in September of 2012, I wrote her a letter where I asked her, I didn't ask her to forgive me. I just asked her to observe me and observe if I would change in my habits and my behavior, and then decide later if she would forgive me. I did see how slowly she was changing, but it took her 2 years for her to completely forgive me. And then when she came and told me that, she shocked me because she said, I want to come and share my part of the story together with you. And that was really incredible, especially because beforehand, when I had been healed, I wanted to share it with everyone. And we would go to conferences and I would talk about it to everyone around me at the dinner table. And she felt really embarrassed. And so she asked me not to talk about it anymore. And so I didn't. But then after that, then she said, no, I want to come and talk about it publicly with you.
And now you're speaking in churches at times with your wife too, right?
Yes, yes, exactly.
So God does heal. God does radically change lives. And
exactly.
He sets captives free. So we got around 2 minutes left. Briefly, what do you see going on in the Church of Italy? Are the Italian churches talking openly about sex, porn, and masturbation?
Well, there's a lot of work to do. I mean, some churches are starting to talk about it. 10, 12 years ago, there was no talk about it. But now there's another ministry that is talking about porn. And we're talking about it. And so churches are now slowly talking about the issue, although a lot of times it gets relegated to an issue to talk about with the youth and not to talk about with the adults. It's considered just, a problem of the youth, and then everything will be resolved when you get married. Oh. But so there is still a lot of work to do. And some churches still don't want to talk about it, think that no one in their church has a problem with that. We've been told that. And but now slowly a lot of pastors and elders are recognizing that it is a problem.
Dan, it's been great, and we're going to continue this conversation with Dan Weens here in Italy next week. So, my friends, thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time. Do you want to be free?
Blazing Grace is a nonprofit international ministry for the sexually broken and the spouse. Please visit us at blazinggrace.org for information on Mike Janung's books, groups, counseling, or to have Mike speak at your organization. You can email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call our office in Chandler, Arizona at 719-888-5144. Again, visit us at blazinggrace.org. Email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call the office at 719-888-5144.